We are the Going Pulse podcast team for this week, delivering the news for you on this Monday morning. I'm Kiara.
I'm James.
I'm Kinga.
And I'm Jamie.
So guys, what do you think? It's been a busy week in Galway, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. We have had a lot of local and international stories this week, particularly the one about Anne-Marie's story about Lebanon, which is really interesting.
Yeah, we've had a few international good ones. The anniversary of Palestine was just last week on the 7th of October, and we've had an article on that. And we had a good story on Lebanon that you mentioned, where Anne-Marie went and interviewed the PhD researcher at the University of Galway. That's from Lebanon. And he spoke about the humanitarian crisis that's going on there and the conflicts that are ongoing. It was a very good story, I have to say.
It's good to obviously shine a light as well on Lebanon as well as Palestine. Obviously, it's awful what's going on in both countries, but it's more of a widespread issue that's happening, and no one's holding people to account. I don't think.
Yeah, it's important to raise awareness and to spread awareness on that.
Especially as we're hearing so much about the peacekeepers in Lebanon and the Blue Line, we're not looking so much as everyday lives for regular people, and that was incredible to see our PhD researcher, his family, and the way people in his community is handling it. I think it was a different analysis that maybe we need more of in the media.
Yeah, on the ground kind of journalism, I think. Yeah. We're kind of looking from the outside a bit too much, I think, which can become a problem. Okay, so we had a political story as well, a local political story from our reporter Scott Stevens, and it was a really interesting interview with Eamon O'Keefe, who is who is still a TD for Galway West, but he is, of course, retiring. He's 74 years old now. He's been a TD for many, many years, and he's been sitting as a minister for 8 years as well. And it was really kind of interesting to get his perspective, as he is a traditional Fianna Fáiler, of course. He's been there for years, but with the likes of Micheál Martin, he wouldn't see maybe eye to eye all the time, and he'd kind of have his own... He wouldn't be following the crowd, I suppose, which just makes him kind of unique. And it's what I suppose why people kept voting for him, because he was actually just looking out more for his constituency. And he kind of had some interesting opinions on celebrity candidates, I guess, Gráinne Shoiga, who a lot of people are saying is the kind of favorite to replace him. So I don't know what you guys think of celebrity candidates in Irish politics in general. It's kind of becoming a new thing, I think.
I suppose, like you said, it is definitely a new phenomenon, and that it's increased a lot in recent years. With the MEP elections were the same story, especially in the West with Nina Carberry. But, you know, you have to look at it from the perspective, as Eamon O'Keefe put it himself, you have candidates in the past who were hurlers, who were footballers, and who were incredibly successful. So whether it's a new phenomenon or not, I'm not sure, but it's definitely something we're seeing more of. And I think we'll see even more of it now with so many TDs stepping down and not going for re-election. You're going to have people stepping in those roles. And in Irish societies, we're so small and we're so community-minded that these celebrities really do stick out, and people do end up going for them because they're a familiar face. I think that's so important in Irish politics, where you don't see that maybe as much in other countries, where a candidate needs to be a familiar face to really stand any chance in the elections, whether that's locals or Dáil or European elections.
Yeah, he mentioned Jack Lynch, the former Taoiseach, who was a hurler, a sports star. I don't think it's if you're popular enough, and people have a connection, especially with football players. I've seen in Mayo and Galway, they have a connection with these people because, you know, everyone, a lot of Irish people like sports, like rugby, football, hurling. So obviously they're going to relate more to someone than someone who's gone through, say, through university, or just has come out of the blue. You know what I mean? So that's what gets votes, I think.
Another big talking point that's been dominating, especially in the universities, is the topic on university parking.
Yes, we've had a good article of Gerard's coming out that went and interviewed a few people around Galway to actually ask about what is going on with university parking and what are the decisions being taken about this. It's been causing such a big issue on campus. I've heard so many people say that they cannot find parking, they cannot, they don't get to the lectures in time. It's such a big problem. So you really delve deep into the topic, which I think is a very hot topic for Galway right now.
Yes, especially when people can't get a house in Galway, they're maybe driving, if they live kind of close enough, they expect that they'd cater for for parking and stuff, but people are driving around campus for an hour and missing lectures just because they can't get a parking space, which is kind of, it's not a good look for the university, I don't think. It's basically just space. It's not like you're having to build any infrastructure. It's literally just allocating space for stuff like this. So I think it's something that should be addressed, and I hope it will.
We do see the environmentally friendly aspect of it, as in fuel is very like expensive right now, and it's not, of course, like environmentally friendly, but and they're trying to cut and reduce the amount of people getting in with cars and maybe using as well like transportation, like public transports, but still at the same time there's so many people commuting that are not like nowhere near Galway and they need to drive in. Mm-hmm. So it's a big, big issue.
There's the argument as well of public transport links to the university, which, as we all know, public transport in Galway is at a level where, you know, you're stuck in traffic a lot of the time. Bus lanes aren't efficient. It's an issue for sure, where people who live on the other side of the city need to leave more than an hour before their lectures. It's for a journey that essentially is 20 minutes. It's such an issue. And then you're looking at cutting parking and reducing these parking spaces for so many commuting students, not even looking at students who are living in other counties, in other towns, and there's a huge amount of them and a growing number every single year because of housing issues.
Yeah, you could make the argument that it's not even, like, the university would probably argue that it's not, it's more of a Galway problem than a university of Galway problem, because, yeah, like, as you said, the buses aren't sufficient. The buses coming in to the city itself are not sufficient. They're always overcrowded. And the ones in the city, well, like, you're almost better off walking through the city than getting a bus sometimes, because it's just, there's too much congestion within the city.
I think it's important to note as well that maybe it's not just a Galway issue, but it's a nationwide issue. We see it across Dublin, a place like Maynooth as well. It's such a problem to get parking, so maybe there has to be a resolution across the entire country to solve this problem.
As we all know, in Galway, we're a very culturally minded place, and we've had lots of events coming up in the next few months to take away the doom and gloom of autumn. In the last week, we've had the Cartoon Festival, which is running for the 8th year in a row. Very exciting time. And we had a lovely article written by Jolene going into the events and speaking to the artists to really understand the ninth art, as it is known in the artist world.
Yes, I find it very interesting, like, to see all the exhibitions that were happening like at the same time in Galway, and the main exhibition was called Beasts, which I find interesting, and to hear about like all the cartoonists tell their stories and express their form of art was very nice. I think that Galway is like top notch with their culture, their cultural events. So.
Mm. Then moving on from the Cartoon Festival, we also have the Comedy Festival coming up, which is, as every year, it's proven to be an incredible event, very exciting. This year they are planning to run 70 events in 7 days, a very ambitious goal, but I'm sure they'll make it happen. Another very exciting lineup, as per usual, with lots of events catering also to the multicultural population of Galway. We have a Polish comedian in the stand-up lineup, which is very exciting, something for the community that maybe wouldn't see themselves in Irish comedians, and lots of other things coming up. Very, very exciting time once again for culture, and definitely something to keep an eye on, even if maybe you are not as keen on comedy as an art form itself.
Yeah, well, make sure to check that out, because everyone needs a good laugh. Mm-hmm. Always, at all times. So absolutely, that's necessary, especially on these gloomy days here in the fall. So.
And again, you never know what you'll discover. Maybe you'll find your new favourite comedian during the festival.
So we have a busy fortnight in sports in Galway. So first we'll start with the soccer. So Galway United are taking on St. Pat's on Friday the 18th, and that's a pretty big game for them, because it's fourth against fifth, and there's three points between them. So how important do you think this game is for United?
I think it's incredibly significant, especially after the Dundalk results from last Friday, where they lost the chance to win at the very last minute. I think in the battle for the title, I think their chance of winning it has kind of subsided, slipped away. So I think their main focus will be on securing European football. Mm-hmm. Which, to be fair, at the start of the season, if you thought Galway United be in the fight for European football, I think John Caulfield would have bit your hand off for that.
Yeah, like, it's their first season in the Premier Division in how many years, and they're already like up at the top half of the table, which is quite impressive. You know, it's a testament to all them. Their squad hasn't even changed that much since last year. They've kind of just grown, which is really promising. And I think, like, they just need to push on now and try and take, they have 3 games left, they need to try and take 9 points. I think that's the main goal.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's like, so many teams are in the fight for Europe. I'd say it'd be about 5 or 6 teams that have a realistic chance of getting into the top three. So every team would be determined to try and get a result if they can.
So in the rugby, we have Connacht going starting their first game of like a 2-game stretch against in the Irish derbies. So first they travel to Ulster. and then after the following week they are hosting Leinster. So like that's pretty important, like two games in their in the early season, I suppose, for Connacht.
Absolutely, they started very strong, and most of the games that they played in has been very closely contested, very tight scores. Particularly in their last game, where they literally won by just a point, a late penalty in the 78th minute. Ulster haven't had the strongest start to the season; they're more in the bottom half, so Connacht might take that as an opportunity to try and keep stretching their advantage at the top. But I think the big game to look forward to will be against Leinster in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, like obviously with all Irish derbies, it doesn't really matter where they how their season's gone before this. Obviously, they're going to want to beat the rivals and all that. Especially a team like Leinster coming to the sports grounds, like that's a chance to make a statement, you know, in the start of the season. And obviously, they've had a lot of close calls, especially against Sharks. That I was watching that game, and it was like the comeback. It was the most insane comeback you'll see in a while, I think. So like stuff like that will give you confidence and momentum, especially getting a few players back as well from injury, a few key players.
Absolutely, and especially if you look towards last season, where in the Connacht Leinster game at the Showgrounds, Leinster sold the win at the very last minute. So hopefully it'll be a reverse change of fortunes, and Connacht will be on the right side of history this time.
Yeah, definitely. So the On the Pulse podcast will be back in 2 weeks for the latest in Galway news. Next week is a break, I suppose. So join us then to get an update on all your Galway news. Thank you for listening.